Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Wayne Smith, former mayor, businessman, and friend of Carrie Hines, calling to wish him on the 600th show to keep on keeping on. You're doing a marvelous job. Looking forward to be on the air with you sometime soon. Carrie Hines, 600 shows.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
The reason my world keeps turning, like the blood running through my veins, sunshine when there's only rain. You're the reason my heart keeps learning.
my God, I didn't know that, you know, talking about beauty icons would be such a great thing, and people wanted to hear, like, what did I think, and, you know, so what I did was I said I wanted to do a little spin on it. I wanted to recognize the, not just the beautiful women, but the beautiful men of this world as well, and it took me a while to get this list compiled down to 10 amazing men, and from very diverse backgrounds, from different points in life and in years and careers. And, you know, we just wanted to find that quintessential list. And if you don't agree with the list, I have no problem listening to you and you telling me, oh, well, you forgot this one or you forgot that one. But I will say I think I covered it very, very well. I did lots of research on different lists that have been compiled by, like, the likes of Time Magazine and People Magazine and different periodicals that, you know, traveled really, really far back to some of the screen gods of yesteryear, and then some of the pioneers in male beauty of today. So the list is very diverse, and I think that you guys are really going to enjoy it. And I think for some of you, it's going to take you back and make you think, and then you're going to say, oh, my God, yeah, he was a beautiful man. So so I think that we are ready to start. Are you guys ready?
Oh, we are so excited. All right.
So like I said before, this list, it might be a little interesting, but I'm pretty sure you guys will agree. So the very first list of our male beauty icons has been referred to in so many different lights as one of the greatest actors of all time, and his name is Mr. Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando is an American actor, film director, and activist. He is hailed for bringing gripping realism to his roles, and he is widely considered as one of the greatest American actors of all time. He won two Academy Awards. One was for On the Waterfront in 1954, and then, of course, his iconic role in 1972 as The Godfather.
Oh, that's right. Now, he was also the Streetcar Named Desire, right?
But he didn't win an Academy Award for that one, though.
Oh, okay. Wow. And that's his most famous role, I think.
Yeah, and he actually was nominated for 8 Academy Awards. So he's probably nominated for that. He is the most nominated actor of all time. And I started to take a couple of pictures of him, because I need really to get to why I consider being the most attractive man of all time. So
I can relate to Marlon.
I looked at photos of him, and I would say that's a title very well earned. The first thing that I kept looking at was this boyish, devilish grin. So I'm pretty sure he was not. I don't think that he was a playboy, but if he was, I think he would have every right to be.
Well, I'll tell you, do you remember, like, all that I can remember, I certainly knew of him during his life and when I was a little boy, but I remember Marlon Brando as Superman's dad. That's how I remember Marlon Brando. Yeah, he played Superman's dad in the original Superman movie, and he was the father. And we also remember him being a close friend to Michael Jackson. So he got a lot of press. Michael got a lot of press. Michael Jackson was very close to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we certainly remember a whole lot about Marlon Brando towards the end of his life. And so just amazing. So I can understand why he is a good choice. It may not be all about so much about exterior beauty, and that's always in the eye of the beholder, but he has led, you know, he had an extraordinary motion picture career, and that was just, you know, so impactful and went way beyond the motion pictures. So good choice.
And
I think it was a good choice.
Yeah, as I was researching some photos of him, I noticed that he did, in his younger days, have like a very structured, almost model-esque type face. So there was definitely some qualities that would be very eye-catching. And like I said, in researching, I know of Marlon Brando and I knew of his work, but these earlier pictures really grabbed my attention. So I would say that he does deserve to be on this list. And one of the features that I noticed about him is that his eyes are actually downturned in the corners, which people consider like a puppy dog eyes. And I read that that was one of the features that, you know, women found really attractive in him was his eyes. And there was a quote from an actress, so I don't want to say her name, that said that he had the type of eyes that would make you do anything that he wanted. And so I'm going to go have surgery so I can have those type of eyes too.
we think you already have great eyes. You don't need to do that, right?
Well, we'll think about that. But I'm so glad to add Mr. Marlon Brando to this list. And let's jump to the next movie actor to grace this list is the iconic forever teenager, Mr. James Dean. James Dean is an American actor, and he is most known for his role in Rebel Without a Cause. In which he was this rebellious teenager. And now, looking at photos of him, I just saw if he was to be in this day and age, he would completely be a model because his face, he just had that structure that he had very full lips as well and almost pouty lips. And like I said, those features were so distinct and very good hair, too. I noticed that a lot. He had very good hair, and actually, he was what I would consider the Brad Pitt of those days. When I saw these pictures of him, because he did die at a very young age, so he is basically forever immortalized as being young, and he just had this beauty about him that was so striking, and even intimidating, because
sometimes
you have to step back and say, wow, even if you're secure in who you are, you have to say, well, maybe I need to step my game up the way this brother looks.
He was such an extraordinary, even his acting ability and what he, the way he appeared on screen kind of channeled certain angst in his portrayals and depictions of the characters he played. He was someone who, like you mentioned, he died way before his time, and I think he co-starred with Elizabeth Taylor, and I've seen a movie or two of his. There were so many rumors and so many different things. I think that when he passed away, when he died, I think that all of that just takes on a whole new level of interest in folks. And out in Hollywood, they have nothing but these wonderful, iconic folks that you are talking about, like James Dean, because there's such a mysterious mystery that an aura of mystery, I should say, that surrounds these folks in death as they have lived. So just great choice. Wow, you really go back. Old Hollywood.
Yes, he had great lips also, just like Brando. I like the lips. Yes.
Okay, Pearl Walker. Let's make it clear that came from Pearl Walker. All right, Demetrius, good choice.
So I'm going to jump to what some people have considered, and many have considered the first black sex symbol of all time, and he is the legendary Mr. Harry Belafonte. Now, Harry Belafonte is a singer, songwriter, actor, and social activist. If you look at photos of Mr. Belafonte in his youth, you would see such a striking man, hazel green eyes, beautiful skin, amazing teeth, just classic, and so many Hollywood producers were almost afraid to use him in films because they felt like if he was the co-star that he would actually outshine the actual star because he was just that good looking. And even in his later days, still kept that air of
swagger. Well, he's still around with us for sure.
Yes, absolutely. And just the swagger and class. We don't see him much now, but, just this swagger and this class about him that is just so attracting, and it just draws your eyes to him, and you just wind up staring.
Exactly.
I mean, if you look at these, if you do some Google search on photos of him from his earlier days, you would just, gorgeous. Black man. Gorgeous.
Well, Harry Belafonte, as you pointed out, was and has been just on our scene, the entertainment landscape for many, 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 many years. And like you said, being one of the first male sex symbols for our community, and beyond that, being such a voice for political, concerns. He's had a long-lasting and indelible mark on our community and the world for that much. But I also know Harry Belafonte, a great family man. We even remember, Pearl Walker, you may remember, one of his daughters was even acting. I wonder what happened as well. Just a full her name. I want to say Heather, but I'm not sure. So Sherry.
Sherry
Belafonte Harper, I think it was. And so he really just put those genes out there, believe me. So good stuff. Just a beautiful person inside and out, obviously. Good choice. Wow, you're going back. You're going back to Mephia Smart.
Well, these first five men that I selected, I consider them classic, and then the last five will be what I consider more new school. And so number four, I don't think would be a surprise to anyone. He is referred to as the king of rock and roll. It is Mr. Elvis Aaron Presley. Elvis Presley he is one of the most significant cultural icons of the 20th century. Like I said, he is often referred to as the king of rock and roll or simply the king. And I would say in his younger days, I can't claim to be an Elvis Presley fan, but I would have to say those moves in some of his younger movies, Mr. Presley would definitely make you a fan. He had these beautiful, piercing brown eyes, this lip-snarling curl that he used in lots of his photos where his top lip kind of did this interesting thing, but It drew your attention in.
Oh, yes. the quivering,
exactly.
Famous lip quiver.
And he took so many photos like that, but he just had this, I want to say dreamboat kind of thing about him. And I understood why he had so many women names attached to his, because he definitely was a playboy in his heydays. And he was an icon that we did lose too soon because we lost him before he even turned 50 years old. So
that's right.
Well,
Elvis had lived an extraordinary life. He was one of the biggest names in rock and roll music in the world. And a lot of what Elvis said, yes, there were a lot of controversial ways that folks in our community looked at Elvis for different things. But I have to say, because it's believed in part that a lot of the music that he did was kind of pulled from, you know, inspired by people of color. And so that was one argument. We heard all kind of rumors swarming around about Elvis, you know, supposedly thinking that folks could just buy shoes and buy tickets. And we've heard so many different things. We don't really know what to believe. But the one thing I can honestly say is that I actually agree with your choice. I think that what Elvis did for entertainment was wonderful. And he broke a whole bunch of barriers, and he inspired an entire movement and generation. And the only person, I think, to exceed Elvis Presley, and we'll talk about that in another segment, but I think there's only been one person to exceed him when it comes to generating money and death in terms of entertainers. So good choice. You know, Elvis, and Elvis also, you know, was a serviceman, so we also want to acknowledge that. And very interesting. Wow, you really have gone back. Each choice
and also,
is amazing.
You know, he's buried at Graceland, which was the mansion where he lived, and it's on Elvis Presley Boulevard, which is also Highway 51.
Now, isn't
and
that
it's
in
about
your town,
a mile
Pearl
and a
Walker?
Half. Yeah, right here. It's, it's a mile and a half up the street from my salon. And actually, I have a neighbor who relocated here from Wisconsin, and she's a big Elvis fan. You all would just be amazed at the following that he still has in 2015. She has a life-size mannequin in a case in her living room with an Elvis costume on it, jewelry, the gold chains that she got from Elvis's jeweler, and it's just an amazing following that he still has. I don't know if you all know it or not, but Graceland is the second most visited home in the United States after the White House. It's just an amazing
mark
that he
That's
left
amazing.
On society and
now,
the world.
Graceland
and
is right there where you are. Is that correct, Pearl?
Right up the street from my salon, yes.
Do you see the buses riding past your shop?
Yes, and the tourists, and this is every day. And then we're inundated.
We're going to have you to fess up. How many times have you been to Graceland?
I've never been to Graceland, Pearl.
I'll go.
I'm going to go.
Okay, because we think you've been there a few times, Pearl. We think you've been there a few times.
But there's an area around the mansion, and I've visited those other, you know, some of the other tourist spots around the mansion. But I've never been in Graceland. And about Elvis's hair, I have to share this. Elvis was a natural blonde to me, Theus, but he dyed his hair black.
Really? I've never even heard of anybody doing that.
I never knew that.
Yes, he was a natural blonde. He was in the movie Love Me Tender. He was blonde in that movie.
Oh. Then that was his own hair?
That was his own hair.
We'll have to check that out. Wow. And that's a great song. Who can forget Love Me Tender? Well, listen, folks, if you have just joined us, you, of course, are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line today, my wonderful co-host, Ms. Pearl Walker, of course, and our Wednesday contributor to the Hair Radio Morning Show. He is the makeup czar, as far as I'm concerned. His name is Demetrius Smart, and you guys know him. He's with us each week, and you've got your own fan base, Demetrius. You really do. And they chime in every week to listen to you right here. So I want to pass that along to you. And just it's such great, wonderful honor to have you with us again this morning
on the show.
Yes. Now, today you're counting down the male icons. And so I'll let you continue. This sounds wonderful.
Okay, so the last icon of the classic era. This one was a bit of a stretch, but I feel comfortable with this one. And he is considered as the first ever Latin heartthrob, and his stage name was known as Ricky Ricardo, but professionally he is known as Mr. Desi Arnaz. Desi Arnaz was the husband of the late Lucille Ball. And he was a popular singer, dancer, club performer, and if you were to look at videos of him, because actually when he originally started doing the I Love Lucy, he was already in his 40s. So if you were to see videos and photos of him while he was in his 20s, you would see a man that easily rival any silver screen god at the time. He was another actor with really good hair, an amazing smile, that Cuban flavor that had that spice to it. So he had the look of a classic movie actor. However, he had that Cuban flavor that just set him apart from anybody else during his time. And him and his wife, the comedic legend, Lucille Ball, actually caused a little bit of controversy because at that time a lot of people considered their marriage a mixed marriage because her being a Caucasian woman and him being of Cuban descent. And, you know, to see the two of them on screen together, I don't think you could honestly appreciate one without the other. They truly played off of each other in a magnificent way. Their show, I Love Lucy, plays every day somewhere in the world since both of them have passed away. So it just goes to show that this man's influence has still gone on way after his time. I've heard in an interview that Ricky Martin and even Enrique Iglesias referenced Desi Arnaz as an inspiration to them. So,
well, you know what? I think that is an amazing choice, and particularly for me. I love that. I think that Desi Arnaz, I would have never expected him to make your list, but I can still see why. Desi Arnaz was someone who made such an impact in the entertainment world. Going back to what you said, it is reported that the networks did not want Lucille Ball to have Desi as her husband because of that so-called mixed marriage. And it's always been alleged that he was, so they wanted to cast someone else, someone who was not of Cuban descent, as her husband. But Lucille stood her ground, and not only that, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz formed Desi Lu Productions, which went on to produce so many other shows like Gomer Pyle and so many other TV shows that we know today. But the biggest contribution to all of entertainment and to television specifically is that Desi Arnaz, and this is something I don't have to go on the internet, I remember this and know this in my head, Desi Arnaz created something called, they created the sitcom, if you will. They created it in this way. Until they did what they did, they only knew of using one camera. So Desi Arnaz created this thing where they used three cameras. So to this day, we use three cameras to record a TV program. Three cameras. That format, that's what was created by Desi Arnaz. And so, yes, Lucille Ball went on. They stayed together for quite a while. Lucille went on and she married someone else, and Desi, you know, they lived a good little while, and they were big folks from Beverly Hills. They lived in Beverly Hills, I seem to recall. And I happened to be in Los Angeles back in the 90s when Lucille Ball passed away. I was at the Arsenio Hall show, and they flashed on the monitor that Lucille had passed away that day. You know, at that moment when we were in the audience, I was sitting in a dog pound in the old days. We were on his show, and they showed it on a monitor that she had passed away. So I went back to Hollywood Boulevard after Arsenio's show wrapped at Paramount Studios at that time. And on Hollywood Boulevard was Lucille Ball's star. And her star was located in front of Frederick Gastulis, in front of Frederick's of Hollywood. And so, and I remember on her star, they placed the big wreath stand and all of that with, and fans started to leave things. And I saw that there when I came back to Hollywood Boulevard. So I will never forget that. And we love Lucy, to put it mildly, and we love Desi Arnaz. And he is an amazing choice. His son, Desi Arnaz Jr., is still going strong, and so is their daughter out there. So they're doing some great things. The great Lucille, I think, Lucy Arnaz. So great choice, you know, and such personal memories for all of us. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, guys, so we're going to jump into, so that those top five men, Marlon Brando, James Dean.
Great classic choices. Wow.
Harry
Belafonte,
Elvis Presley, and Desi Arnaz are what we consider our classic male beauty icons. But now we're going to bring
it
to the new.
Why? I'll tell you what. Why don't we do that? It's a perfect time for us to take our music break, give you a chance to grab your coffee, and when you come back on the other side of this music break, I think it'll be perfect time to go into your, I guess, your contemporary side of the list.
Absolutely.
How's that?
Great.
All right, folks. Well, listen, we are going to take just a quick music break. Won't take very long at all. And when we come back, we're going to have some more of this wonderful list of your iconic folks. And then don't forget, we have got to we've also got to get the update on what happened at your show, the Living Doll Show. So stay with us, folks. There's a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show featuring, starring Tamethia Smart coming up after this music break. Stay with us.
Girl, I'm gonna make you mine.
right. We're back live. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is about 7:35 in the morning on Wednesday, April 22nd, 2015. We are so excited to have with us, of course, my wonderful co-host, Ms. Pearl Walker, and Mr. Timotheus Smart. You guys know if it's Wednesday, it is time for Timotheus. All right. So you are the makeup star, Timotheus, and again, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, you have already put together an extraordinary list of male icons, classic male icons so far. So right before we went to the music break, it sounds like you're about to get into, you're continuing with your list, but I think you have some contemporary folks, if I'm not mistaken. Take it away.
Yes. So just a brief recap of our classics. Were Mr. Marlon Brando, James Dean, Harry Belafonte, Elvis Presley, and Desi Arnaz. So our number six meets us somewhere in the middle of the classics and the new school. And he is what I would consider one of the smoothest men I have ever seen float across the screen. He stole our hearts in Mahogany and Lady Sings the Blues. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. Billy Dee Williams.
Woo-hoo!
This
Billy
is, and I'm going to age myself right now, but this is Mr. Colt 45 from back in the days when he was just modeling and then going into acting. And he is a man that his influence, his class, his sophistication has gone from back in those days to present day. Mr. Williams is always referred to as a classic, not just a classic actor, but just a class act altogether. You've never heard anything about him being disrespectful or mean or nasty, but he just always carries this air of sophistication, this air of class, this air of just a beautiful man. And to see him on screen with the legend, the boss, Miss Diana Ross, and Lady Sings in Mahogany, and I love that ending scene of Mahogany when Diana, Billy Dee is on stage and he's talking about being a councilman, and Diana Ross screams out, "I want my old man back!" And I loved it. And I love the chemistry that the two of them share on the screen, and it's something that, you know, just truly, she pushed him to be his absolute best. And I don't feel this list would have been complete without making sure that this man was on this list. And he meets you in the middle of the classics and the contemporaries because he does carry that air of class and sophistication. And I absolutely love Billy Dee Williams.
Well, Billy Dee is all that you said. And I think your favorite line is that. My favorite line is, "Do you want my hand to fall off?" I don't remember which movie it was in, and I just remember that line stayed with me. "Do you want my hand to fall off?" I'm sorry. So, you know, we had to do our little acting this morning. But great choice. We also remember Billy Dee for being one of the very first African-Americans to be featured in a starring role on the late-night soap scene. He was in Dynasty. So when we look at these wonderful black characters that are in this hit TV nighttime melodrama soap, now called Empire, they have to pay tribute to the great Diane Carroll, who was on your female list, of course, and to Billy Dee Williams, who both starred in the iconic TV series Dynasty. So we are very excited to acknowledge that this morning. So great, great choice. And he's also a great painter in his own personal spare time. He's an amazing artist, and so in every which way. So great choice.
Okay. So we're going to jump down to a man that we lost much, much too soon. And some people thought that he would actually go in the route of his father and actually one day become president. And we're talking about the Prince of Camelot, John F. Kennedy Jr. John F. Kennedy Jr. Was a free spirit, and he never let the legacy of his family boggle him down into be something that he wasn't. He wanted to run his own company. He skated around Central Park with his shirt off, and he was the pea prince, like Princess Diana was the people's princess. John F. Kennedy Jr. was known as the people's prince, and he was very personable. He started a magazine, a very short-lived magazine called George, and I remember the very first issue where they had the supermodel Cindy Crawford dressed like George Washington on the front of the cover. And he wanted to give a political view from a younger person's standpoint. And, you know, coming from such an iconic family during an iconic time in our history, one of the most classic photos of him is him as a young boy when he was saluting his father's casket that was being horse-drawn by. And we lost him at such a young age. He had just gotten married, and there were so many things in his future. And he was actually one of the first the only political figure ever to be known on the People magazine as the sexiest man alive. And I believe that was 1989. And, you know, he will sorely be missed. I mean, that was a man that I feel never got the chance to actually shine to his fullest potential. But we know that he's beyond the stars right now. And just the legacy that he left behind, I feel like his mother and his father would clearly be proud of the work that he did. And, you know, just to see photos of him just, he would skate around with these gym shorts and his rollerblades and no shirt through Central Park, and people would say, oh, my God, is that John F. Kennedy Jr.? He just made himself so accessible to everyone else. He lived on the Upper East Side, had a beautiful wife, and, you know, just an all-around beautiful man.
Absolutely, and, of course, they died tragically in that plane crash. But I'll tell you something about the wonderful family and legacy that he was so much a part of and creating that. The political magazine, George, was popular at the time. And I seem to remember that, and not just the wonderful John, but also his sister, who's still doing amazing work in the way of education and so much more here in New York. And for the country, I think she's one of the, one of the ambassadors for America. So we are so excited, and such a political dynamo, their entire family. You don't go into too many circles when you talk about politics and family dynasties that the Kennedys' names are not mentioned. The Kennedy name, rather, is not mentioned. So we are so happy that I think you made a really good choice. Interesting, very interesting.
And he was truly a genuine young man. I have a cousin who attended Brown University with him, along with Rhonda Ross at that same time, and he had nothing but good things to say about JFK Jr. They actually lived in the same dormitory. Their rooms were down the hall from each other, and he was just an awesome young man, definitely.
All right. Interesting.
So, yes, I didn't feel like I could complete this list without him. And you're going to jump into number eight. This is one man in the same vein of Billy Dee Williams. I clearly could not have this list without his name on it. And I think everybody knows who he is, Mr. Denzel Washington. So, Denzel Washington
right.
is a two-time Academy Award winner for Glory and Training Day. I love Denzel Washington and Glory. But I honestly feel, and I'm going to make this statement right now, I feel that he was completely jerked of winning the Oscar for Malcolm X. He was amazing in that movie. Clearly amazing in that movie. Denzel Washington is the first African-American to ever be called the sexiest man alive on People magazine, and still to this date, the only African-American man to ever win that title. Denzel, the world over, has been known not just for his acting abilities, but clearly for his good looks. I don't know. There was a show long time ago, and I'm aging myself again, where he played a doctor, and I believe it was St. Elmo's Fire.
No,
St.
Elsewhere was the
Saint
TV
Elsewhere.
Show where he was a doctor.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. And I had seen it on Nick at Night. That shows my age again.
Well, it really shows my age if I actually know all these. These are factoids that I recall all these factoids off the top of my head because I remember them all so well. So very interesting. Wow. Well, I'll tell you, the only connection I have to Denzel was that I remember at the airline at TWA when I was in reservations out in Los Angeles, and he would frequently travel to Europe, and I remember seeing the reservation that he had in our system. I didn't talk to him, but I guess he had called and had booked flights with other reps. And it showed that he has a big family, apparently, and he was taking everybody to Paris first class on TWA. So I remember looking at his reservation years ago. Yes, a lot of kids. I do remember seeing that. I don't remember all their names and all of that stuff, but yeah, he's a good choice. He's had such a big impact on us acting-wise. The only other actor I think comes close, but I'm not going to say. I'm going to let you go through your list first. We'll come back. If he's not on your list, we're going to raise sand. And you don't know, the only person I think that should be on the list, I'm not going to say anymore, so I'll let you continue. I love your list. Great job.
Okay, so we're going to jump down to number 9. And number 9 is another one. I don't think if I was putting this list together, he would ever be excluded. And he is Mr. Brad Pitt.
Wow.
Brad Pitt, actor and humanitarian. One of my favorite Brad Pitt's movie of all time is Interview with a Vampire. And Legends of the Fall. I thought that he was amazing in both of those movies. He was typecast in the beginning of his career that everyone just wanted him to do, like, the handsome sidekick. But he wanted to push all of that to the side, and he wanted to be taken as a serious dramatic actor. I mean, I know that everybody remembers him in Thelma and Louise in his younger days. And that was his very first role on film, was in Thelma and Louise. And to see him now as a father and a humanitarian and an actor, and he was actually one of the producers of the Academy Award-winning movie 12 Years a Slave. And Brad Pitt just continues to be an amazing man, even well now into, I believe he just turned 47, and
maybe a few years ago.
Oh, my
think,
God. That is
I think he, yeah, I think he's past that point now.
Well,
I think he's about 50 at least.
Well, when I researched, I saw 47, so I'm going to, I would just say.
No. We're going to Pearl, and we're going to, yes, he's timeless.
He was born December 18th, 1963. That makes him 51.
Ooh. No,
ooh.
Yeah, it was 63. That would actually, yeah, that would make him about 51 at least,
ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Why,
well,
I
okay,
knew he was older than 47.
Well,
he's looking great, though.
No, but he looks, he
okay.
actually looks that age. He looks much younger than that. So, you know, his wife, Angelina Jolie, of course, we have the great, friend to the show, David Babai, has the stylist for Brad Pitt. He's done, Brad Pitt is his, one of his clients, and Angelina Jolie as well. And you guys know David Babaji. He's on our show all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So very good. Oh, yeah.
And,
well, we have nothing
Brad
but the top stars here.
And Brad was also the first actor to ever be awarded the People's Sexiest Man Alive twice. So
really?
Yes, the very first actor to ever receive that award twice. So congratulations to Mr. Brad Pitt. And I would definitely have to say that he is one of my favorites. I absolutely loved him in Interview with a Vampire. I actually saw that movie in the movie theater. And I haven't been in the movie theater in years. But I do remember wanting to see that movie, and he was just magnetic on screen. So he's one of those that was a no-brainer for this list. Now, the last two, a stretch, but I just want you guys to hear me out.
Okay.
And then you tell me what you think. Now, this man in Soap Opera Digest was awarded the title as the sexiest soap opera actor of all time, and we are talking about Mr. Shamar Moore. Now, Mr. Shamar Moore, I would say, is a very beautiful man, very structured face, piercing eyes, beautiful body. I would say that he clearly deserves that title. I don't watch soap operas often, but when I have seen them, he is one that I probably would want to see on screen. I would say that he does evoke the maybe the younger days of, say, Mr. Billy D. Williams, and I think that he is a surprise on this list. I hope not too much of a surprise, but I do believe that he embodies such a confidence and such a swagger that, you know, lots of viewers of The Young and the Restless couldn't help but vote him to be the sexiest soap opera actor of all times. But I would love to hear your opinion on this.
Well, I love Shamar Moore. I've actually fallen in love with him again as I have become a fan of Criminal Minds last year. He's known for his good looks, and it was always a question over the years, actually, whether he was a good actor or not. Maybe he was just enjoying his success because of his looks. But I tell you, on Criminal Minds, I love his character, Derek Morgan, and he has earned the right to be considered as a sex symbol as well as a great actor. I like Shamar Moore.
Wow. Well, interesting choice. I like Shamar Moore too, generally speaking. And if you're talking about, I guess, in the looks category, I guess he should deserves a spot on the list somewhere. But I think when you look, I think for all the other folks on your list, when you peel back their beauty, there seems to be something else going on that supports and reinforces those good looks. But in Shamar's case, I don't know if you guys agree with me, but I think that I don't see all of it just yet. I think he has a lot more potential to come, and maybe he hasn't had the right breakout role that just would allow that to match the external, things that we see. I think that, you know, maybe the best is yet to come. And I think that he's probably working on that. So I think he deserves to be on the list. Probably for me, you had how many people on the list, 20?
No, I have 11.
Okay, so if you have 11 for me, he would be number 12. But I love him.
Well, you're entitled to that, yes.
And you know what? And I'm pretty sure when I get... I'm pretty sure when I get back on Facebook today, I will see so many comments with, why didn't you put this one? Why didn't you put that one?
Yes.
So I'm sure I'm looking forward to it with my breakfast as I peruse Instagram and Facebook. I'm sure I'll see it.
For me, it's been right on behind Elvis Presley. <You know? laughs> Well, you go ahead. I'm sorry. You guys,
but
go
our last beauty icon, I will debate at all costs if anyone says that he does not deserve to be on this list. He is a pioneer in the world of modeling, and I'm talking about the one and only first black supermodel, Mr. Tyson Beckford.
Beckford.
Oh, man.
Stallion.
Wow. Well, you have saved just about for your last choices, I think, are the most controversial on your whole list. I'll let you guys go ahead and lead in. Did you want to say anything else to me, Fiazon?
Yes, and I'm going to defend Mr. Beckford at all costs because this man has set such a trail for himself that so many male models have tried to emulate. He has set the standard for male modeling and has taken it internationally. This was the first face of Ralph Lauren Polo. This man was discovered on a park bench Central Park.
Central Park, yes.
He was sitting down. He is managed by the great Bethann Hardison, and she has guided his career to places that no other male model in the world has ever touched. And when you go down the list, if you Google the greatest male model of all time, Tyson Beckford's photo is the very first one to pop up. And for him to be an African-American male with chinky eyes, dark skin, and a bald head, you have to recognize that. And even if he doesn't have the depth of a career that is that some people would consider, you know, impactful, but he gives you a figure of a way a strong male would look in the modeling industry. But he came in with tattoos. He came in with muscles when the guys were very frail and thin. He came in with a bald head when guys had hair going down their back. And because I come from the modeling industry, I will clearly defend the fact that this man deserves to be on this list. Because there are so many people that would say, well, Elvis Presley doesn't deserve to be on this list. But you cannot deny the impact that these people have carried, because if they didn't have the impact, you wouldn't have so many people trying to be them.
Well, we're going to fight about this list next week. We are going to fight about it. Pearl, what did you have any comments on Tyson?
He was a surprise, but I like him. I just would not have thought about him, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. But he's had a great career. I think he's eye candy, definitely. And actually this spring he's going to be, starting next week, he's going to be the guest host for the Chippendales this season. In Vegas.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's out there making appearances. I think Tyson deserves to be on the list, actually. I think it's a good choice. I met his mother years ago. We were at the Valentine's Day party together. And very nice lady. She's very, very nice. I do remember her very well. So she was a great contact. And I stayed in touch with her for a little while. I completely vote for Tyson Beckford. I think that's a great choice. You know who I would have liked to have seen on the list? Or let's wait till next week. Is that okay? We'll talk about it next week.
Now you can listen to our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network and shop all in the same place. Go to hairradio.com. We've got around-the-clock hair and beauty radio talk. And while you're there, buy your favorite books, hair products, tickets to live hair and beauty events, and much more. And if you'd like to feature your products in our hairradio.com website store or be a guest on the Hair Radio Broadcast Network, contact us at hairradio.com and reach the world.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old, and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old, and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel. Because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put, like, a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old, and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed, and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign, and backstage, they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist, and this guy didn't know how to do braids, and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it, and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage, and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this it's the same, but this has more red in it, and this is just gray, so it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this, and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen. Most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or a photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin. So we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there. And they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris or, like, Spain that they're just like, oh, my God, I finally got a dark skin girl. So here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe. But me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch. Lies, because everyone knows your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them. So it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us. And I think we all just have to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines, and I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years. It's my pleasure and honor to introduce you to Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner, two unique all-natural hair products from Carrie Hines Hair Care. Especially formulated to remedy any type of hair issue. And the biggest benefit of all is that Carapi Shampoo and Carapi Conditioner grows hair. Carrie Hines Hair Care is the very first African-American-based company to infuse hair care products with caffeine. Why caffeine? Well, many of you are aware that stimulating the scalp is truly what causes the hair follicles to awaken. We were most interested in developing a proprietary formula that works on all hair types. Whether you have a relaxer or are a naturalista, and not wash away or strip the hair following a color treatment. We're thrilled at the amazing following of Carapi, and we thank you. Please register at Carapi.com and join our Carapi community at HairRadio.com. Again, I'm Carrie Hines. Thank you. There's a well-known saying, home is where the heart is, and not just your heart, but your hair. Home Hair Solutions is an all-organic styling and conditioning product line that's available at SalonNiquelle.com. The HOME in Home Hair Solutions is an acronym. H is for hydration, O is for oil, M is for moisture, and E is for earth. It doesn't get much better than that. A complete line of cleansers and hair mounds that will keep your hair looking great and you feeling great about what you're using in your hair. Home Hair Solutions is the answer. Go to SalonNiquelle.com for more details. That's S-A-L-O-N, N like Nancy, I-Q-U-E-L.com.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned hair care challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Everybody, I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, what? Back live, you're listening to the all new Hair Radio Morning Show. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning. It's September 2nd of 2021. It's our broadcast show number 604. That's 604 this morning.
And we're so happy to welcome you to the broadcast. If you're just tuning in, then you likely would have missed what we kicked off today's broadcast with, which was Tamethia Smart in a classic interview. And it was not so much an interview. He did a countdown of iconic guys right here on our broadcast. And we're going to try to get on a couple more items from our classic archives with Tamethia Smart, who used to join us like every Wednesday morning with a whole countdown. He's a makeup star out of New Jersey, just awesome fella. And we just love getting him on. And I think we have a piece when he was last with us at the end of last year. So got a lot to cover this morning. Hey, I want to talk about some of the things that are happening in the media. I sit here and I kind of start preparing the broadcast, and I see things popping up, and want to just, you know, first take a moment to acknowledge some of the things that I've come across and share them with you guys. Feel free to call in anytime throughout today's broadcast. What you want to do is dial 516-453-9458 to share your thoughts. Again, that's 516-453-9458. Press the number 1. That will be our indication that you have something to share live on the air with all of our fans everywhere. So do that, and we'll get your thoughts on. One of the topics I definitely want to cover today, a couple actually. First, let me just lead in with this. Nene's husband, you guys know Nene Leakes from Real Housewives of Atlanta. We want to send our condolences to her. Her husband, Greg, passed away just in the last couple of days here. And we just want to express how sorry we are to hear it. We heard that he was transitioning, and it looks like it has happened. So all the stories are online. I'm sure you'll see it across your social media if you haven't already. We at the Hair Radio Morning Show, I remember a couple years ago, Nene's never been on our broadcast. However, we have interviewed a couple of folks from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Cynthia was on our show. She definitely one of the top stars on that broadcast. Also, Nene's best friend, Marlo Hampton. I'm going to see if I can get on the interview that we did with Marlo Hampton. And what an extraordinary lady. I could see why Nene chose her to be a best friend. And so we'll get that on in just a bit as well. I also wanted to say there's so much, as I mentioned earlier, going on in the news. And I did share something about Urkel coming back to the broadcast. I'm sorry, to television. That is correct, but you definitely want to read the story. He's coming back in a version of a cartoon, so that that might be something that you are interested in. So it's a channel that I'm not all that familiar with, but you can Google it, and I'm sure you'll be able to see what's going on. So we'll definitely we'll keep you posted on that. Hey, I wanted to mention there's been this huge thing about the Jeopardy TV show. And I think the reason it has captured America's, you know, I don't know, mindset at this point, at this moment in time in 2021, is that it just reeks of veiled racism. And I don't know if it's so veiled. The whole thing, I mean, such, you have to understand, Jeopardy TV game show is something that those of us who watch the show, we're very avid, you know, folks who are very close to this. We were very sad when, with the passing of the host, Alex Trebek, and just so much going on with it. And we thought that the perfect host would be LeVar Burton, who is like the black Mr. Rogers, as folks call him. And it's just the whole thing, this is what happened. There was an executive producer who works behind the scene, kind of helps to call the shots. They did this whole campaign. Maybe if they didn't make it so public, I don't know. But to me, it would have been difficult to kind of, you know, do a quick, you know, sleight of hand, if you will, and change hosts. So anyway, they have this this fella who seems just really, you know, just somebody who is, you know, and I could be wrong, but it just seems like somebody who suffered from privilege their whole life and just not really, you know, just looks like they fell forward. And who had made all these horrible remarks in the media over the years and just, you know, gets to be executive producer of not just one show, but perhaps a couple of game shows, and continue to make, well, let's just say, these decisions where they would say they're going to cast for a new host and then choose himself to be the host. Just, which is really hard to imagine anybody having the gumption to do something like that with such a beloved broadcast. So there has been such a firestorm about it, and now as it stands, that guy was canned. He's no longer the host, and he's no longer the executive producer of that or the other game show. So just, what can you say? It just reeks of the kind of thing that has been happening since the beginning of time. Anyway, that's my opinion. So want to hear from you guys again. Feel free to give us a call in. Now, listen, folks, we're going to switch gears. I have a person standing by to speak with you right now. And she's someone that you guys know. She used to be right here on our network on Friday mornings. And so we're happy to check in with her. But I think she has a message to share. We'll let her tell you all about it. Let me see if I can just check to see. Good morning, good morning. Are you there with us this morning? You're live
good
on the
morning,
air.
Good morning, Mr. Hines.
Yes,
Am I coming through okay? Am I coming through okay?
You are. We can hear you beautifully. Everybody can. You're blasting out throughout the world right now. How are you today? And it's good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hines. I just first want to give honor to God just ahead of my life. I want to thank him for waking me up again with a mind made up. I want to thank him for my husband, giving honor to my Boaz, Elder Michael Kelly, the president of our company at BossItUp.biz. Yes, where we educate business owners on how to automate everything they're doing so that they can have customers running after them and clients instead of them having to pursue the customers and the clients. So I am here today strictly, and I know I probably don't sound sick and all of that, and I just say it's because of God. And
no,
my positive
you sound
attitude,
great,
but
actually.
Thank you. Saturday morning, I was getting ready to go to the spa. My husband was taking me to the spa Saturday morning, and he was on the phone paying our phone bill and about to walk the puppy. And I said, okay, I'm going to go upstairs. You go walk Oreo Cookie. That's our puppy, our Aussie doodle. You go walk
and
him.
And he's
I'm
a big dog. This is not a little tiny lap dog.
No, he's 7 months, but he looks like he's like
but he's a
5 years old.
Beautiful.
But he's a baby.
Yeah.
He's still a baby. But anyway, to make a long story short, I had a massive heart attack. Three of my arteries, my main arteries in my chest shut down. I felt the devil grab my heart. Me and my husband have invented something that's blessing people.
God.
That's like a Uber type of situation. And it's leveling out the playing ground. It's helping way more people become millionaires, way more people become successful in their businesses that they never could all over the world. So the enemy mad. And so many people have been able to break chains and all kind of stuff and finally have successful businesses and do it on automation.
Well, hold
so that
on.
They
I want to find out
life.
About how you are doing, though, Shantae.
Okay,
now,
well,
tell us, so you,
I'm trying
you
to tell you
happened.
Why.
Right, okay,
I
mean, you
attack.
Gripped us right there.
That's the
my
reason.
Goodness.
So I am, right now, I am in the ICU. Right now, I'm getting ready
as
to have
right now, while you're live on the air?
Right now, live on the air, I am at the Ahuja Medical Center and University Hospital in Cleveland, Ohio, in Beechwood,
Ohio.
And I've been here since Saturday. The devil grabbed my heart and tried to kill me. I went to the Lord, said, get him off me, get him off me. I felt each finger come up off my heart. I felt it. Mm. The fourth finger that came up off my heart, I was able to tell my husband. I had enough breath to tell my husband to call 911. I'm having a heart attack. And I don't remember nothing after that. 2 days later, I woke up in the ER, in the intensive care, tubes stuck everywhere. I still do. I literally have a pump inside of my femoral artery that is going up to my heart right now that's keeping me alive.
Oh,
I only have 25% of my heart working. But here's the thing. I'm not here to make people feel sorry for me. I'm here to boss you up. Get healthy. Stop being a workaholic. Stop taking on so much. Eat right. Sleep, eat healthy, stop taking on a lot of stress. All of these, we're running for success, and what's happening is we're not helping each other with this lifestyle. We have got to find what we love to do. Do it in a calm, peaceful, professional way that is not stressing us out. Eat right, sleep, and stop. Right now, I got to get a triple by. Did you hear what I said, Carrie? A triple bypass surgery. That means majority of my heart is gone. It's never going to come back because of my workaholism, flat out. Workaholism and not eating and sleeping right. Please,
well,
I'm here to tell
like
everybody.
You were just singing from my handbook. I have to tell you, Shante. Listen, folks, if you've just tuned in, we're on live this morning on this Thursday morning, September 2nd of 2021. I'm Carrie Hines. With me is a person who has co-hosted. You guys know her. She is Shante. It gets no better than Shante Kelly and her husband, Elder Michael Kelly. You guys know them well. Well, listen, today Shante just shared with us that she has to undergo a triple bypass surgery. This is just unbelievable, just out of the blue. I mean, I just talked with you. We've been chatting, you know, online. You really, I'm almost speechless this morning, and you are literally at the ICU right now while we're live on the air. We're talking with you at the hospital out in Cleveland, Ohio. So your message today, Shante, is that we have to do better. We have to be better, and yeah. I'm raising my hand. Because I'm at the front of that list. Everything that you said, I feel like you're talking to me because I have totally abused those things. So thank you for that.
Carrie, that's why I wanted to come on your show. All kind of people are coming at me to come on their show. Everybody want me on their show. And, you know, this week and everything because of the heart attack and what happened and who I am and da-da-da. I said I wanted to be on Carrie Pine's show.
Thank you so much. Well, I love it. Thank you.
Walking that same path, Carrie. Listen, Carrie.
Yeah.
You're walking the same path. I am walking the heart attack.
Yeah. I have to say this, and it is because we push ourselves. And the irony is this, Shante, and to all of our fans everywhere listening, and this is an important show. We didn't plan this. You know, but it's such an important topic and subject.
I really did.
No, you definitely
didn't
plan.
I'm a diva, but I'm not this kind of diva.
You're
I don't need this kind of
Right. Well, listen, we just appreciate you so much. And there are no words to express how much we absolutely wish for you to be 1,000% and just come back stronger than ever, which we know you will. And for me personally,
I have a 95% chance of living a normal life. But again,
listen, that sounds wonderful in my book. Well, 95% of anything is pretty good.
Yes, but I have to exercise better, I have to eat better, all of that great stuff.
I'm starting today.
People that's gonna help me.
When my show wraps today at 9 o'clock, we have former Mayor Wayne Smith out of New Jersey joining us, should be joining us in about 10 minutes or so, and we will be talking with him for the hour. And but I will tell you, and I might start exercising during the broadcast, you guys might just have to be with me breathing a little hard today, because what Shantae has just shared with all of us, Shantae Kelly out of Cleveland. And Shantae, can you answer one thing for me? How is Elder Michael Kelly? This man is you guys, I know you're married, but you have like twin personalities when it comes to business at BossItUp.biz. Can you please tell us how he's doing today? We appreciate him. We appreciate you both. And we just want to know how he's handling this.
My husband is standing on the shoulders of Christ. That's the only thing that's getting him through, because one minute I'm talking to him, telling him I'm going to put a sundress on, go walk the puppy, and the next minute they tell him I'm dying. I'm telling him to rush me to the hospital, and I don't remember. So my husband is the most amazing. I'm telling you, he feed me, he this, he that. I mean, he's here every day. He goes and takes care of the baby. He runs the company for me. He comes here about noon. He spends time with me, eat lunch, bathes me, help me, everything, make me laugh, keep me spirits, read the word. He reads the word. He reads that word to me. That word is what has gotten me through. God said, if you walk up right before me, he didn't say be perfect. You don't have to be perfect and nowhere near. Just walk up right. Just try to do right. And I will withhold no good thing from you. Because of that, that's why I'm alive today. My husband's prayers for me and me walking upright in front of God. Not perfect, but walking upright. In other words, doing unto others as I would have them do unto them. Boss it up, that's our whole philosophy. We are not a B2B. We are not a marketer. We are a human-to-human company, and we show you how to run a multimillion-dollar human business.
Well, listen, we are going to have plenty of time to remind everybody about BossItUp.biz, Shantae, but today it is our focus is on you and getting you well and better so you can get back here and back on the airways, and we will keep ringing the BossItUp.biz bell.
It's going to have to be October, the end of October, beginning of November. We will be back out
there. We'll see you back here in New York.
Yes. In New York by November. In November, the doctor should release me.
That sounds wonderful.
I'm coming right to you, Carrie.
Well, listen, you have a home here. And I just want to say again, let me just officially tell everybody, Shantae and I go way back a while here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You are known to our fans. You've been a supporter. You've introduced me to amazing folks who have changed my life as well. So I just always, whether we get to talk to you every day or not, back at you. You're just awesome.
I can't say it enough. For anyone out there, and I'm going to be totally honest, I have no reason to lie. I'm sitting here with truth stuck everywhere. I have no reason to lie to anyone. Carrie Hines has an angelic spirit. What I mean by that is he never means anyone harm. Everything he does, he prays before he does it. What you don't know about this man, I'm going to tell you right now, he is sent from God. So do not underestimate anything. He's about to go to the top, and me and my husband going to be right there with him, blessing people.
Absolutely.
Amen?
Amen to that. And BossItUp.biz, listen, we are going to continue to sing the praises of this amazing company. Again, the one and only Miss Shantae Kelly. We just so much appreciate you, and Elder Michael Kelly, of course, the Kellys, as your fans have come to know. I had one of our fans, who you guys hear from Queen Trees all the time right here, giving shout-outs on the Hair Radio Morning Show. She sends me a message, where are the Kellys? I said, boy, oh boy, let me tell Shantae and Mike, they have one huge fan. So we're going to shout out Queen Trees this morning on the broadcast. And to Shantae, please keep us informed here. And, we're just waiting for you to come back.
They're going
to
contact you after the surgery. You are only 10 people to be contacting, and you are at the top of the list, Carrie. So you will be contacted after the surgery, okay?
Well, listen, we are sending you, not just getting my well wishes and prayers and great thoughts, but all the folks who are tuned in right now will be doing the same thing. Go to BossItUp.biz, folks. I'm sure you'll be able to also send a message through them over to Shantae. So listen, Shantae, we just appreciate you. And I'm going to put you back out because I know you've got things to focus on right now. besides Little Aura. And
I love you all. Boss up. Hey, live now.
You
healthy.
Got it.
Don't procrastinate. Stop being a workaholic. Find automate your business. We do it. We the best at it. Automate, and Carrie Hines is the best at it as well. Automate.
You.
So you can live. It's to live.
Boss it up. That's my message to everyone. All right,
amen.
Shantae. Well wishes. Okay. You got it. All right, bossitup.biz. Listen, that was the one and only Shantae Kelly. We just appreciate her so much on this broadcast. And for you guys out there listening, listen, I'm taking this as a personal message. You know, to me, God sends messages to everybody. It's not always something that's, you know, blazoned across the sky in big letters. So we have to get those, receive those messages when they appear. And this was not planned. As you guys know, we broadcast the Hair Radio Morning Show right here Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern. Folks know we're here. And when they have news to share, they think of Carrie Hines. They think of our broadcast. And we are on live on this Thursday morning, September 2nd of 2021. It's our show number 604. And what this is motivating me to do is to begin a regular dialogue on our broadcast about health. And that's something that we've talked about, hair and beauty, until the cows come home, which is the underlying theme of our show. But we will be doing some special things to focus on health, which is a part of beauty. And we're going to be talking about that. Now, again, if you're just tuning in, coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern time this morning, 7 o'clock Central, we're waiting for the one and only Mr. Wayne Smith. He's the former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey. He was the mayor for 12 years out there. So he is a political dynamo. And I want to talk with him because he shared a whole bunch of information. He was even, I even saw something that he put out, the lady who was running for mayor in Atlanta. So I want to talk to him about all that. I want to get his feedback on, I'm even going to ask him about the Jeopardy debacle. I want to get his opinion on this whole thing about the Jeopardy game show host thing with LeVar Burton and this other fella and all this kind of stuff. Also, again, our condolences go out to the one and only Mimi Leakes, whose husband, Greg, passed away. So we certainly, as I said, you know, for you guys who have been following all of this and know Hair Radio, and we've had on Mimi's best friend, the one and only Marlo Hampton. I'm going to see now, I'm going to get on Marlo's old piece that she did with us in just a moment. I want you guys to know, I went and looked through the archives after we lost Greg. I said, let me just take a look. Marlo Hampton is Nene Leakes' best friend and one of the cast members on the TV hit show, I should say the hit TV show, Real Housewives of Atlanta. So when Marlo was coming to New York, she reached out to us right here on the broadcast and invited us. And I went down there to her event in Manhattan. This was about 5 years ago and had a chance to meet her. And let me tell you something. Marlo is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever met. Very, and I mean outside and inside, just a wonderful lady. And I could see why Nene Leakes would have her as her best friend. So I'm not even going to take a little break or anything. I'm just going to jump right on into the interview. This is Nene Leakes' best friend. We're thinking of Nene this morning. Again, her husband, Greg, passed away. We'll be back in just a few minutes. I'm not sure I'll let the whole interview play, but I just want to give you a little sense of who Marlo is and why she's Nene Leakes' best friend at this time. So we'll be right back. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, my very next guest is someone you know already. She's been with us before. We'd like to officially welcome back Ms. Marlo Hampton. Marlo, welcome again to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yes. Now, we are so excited. And just to bring everybody up to speed, you guys know Marlo from The Real Housewives of Atlanta and I Dream of NeNe, amongst so many other wonderful projects. But, Marlo, the reason you're here today is because I understand that you have this wonderful new set of fashion seminars that I want you to kind of tell everybody about. Now, it's called The Art of Style with Marlo. What exactly is that?
The Art of Style with Marlo is going to come out and it's going to be a day full of fashion. I'm going to share all my tips with everyone. I'm going to show them their basics that they need in their closet. I'm going to show them how to look like $1 million on a $100 budget. We're going to have a one-on-one. We're going to have music, and we're going to have cocktails, and we're going to have desserts, and we're going to have veggies. It's just going to be an awesome day. We're going to have crazy gift bags, Marlo gift bags with awesome gifts. We're going to have a Neiman Marcus gift card giveaway, Deepa Guarani headband giveaway. So it's just going to be a really a fun day, and I want everyone to definitely just enjoy themselves and share all my tips with them on fashion and hopefully leave with some great tips.
Well, listen, let me just tell everybody, and I'm going to give them, let me first just give everybody all the complete details. Now, for those of you who are in New York, The Art of Style with Marlo rolls in, and this is, we're talking about Saturday, it's May 16th, 2015, from 2 in the afternoon until 4 p.m. Eastern Time, of course, we're in New York. So from 2 to 4. Now, that's at an area called, it's Punto Space. And that's at 325 West 38th Street between 8th and 9th, and that's in Manhattan in New York City. And, of course, you can find out more and get tickets and all that wonderful good stuff at www.marlohampton.com. So I just wanted to get that out there for everybody. We will be there.
And also, too, Carrie, we would have VIP tickets, and those are $150, and the regular admission is $125. So the difference between the VIP and the general, you would have better seating, you would have a photo with me, and like 5 minutes one-on-one with me, and your gift bags are going to be a little different for the VIP.
I love it. Love it, love it. And I like that, you know, you're making it possible for those who want to come for just a little bit more than the general admission. They get an opportunity to have greater access and other things. So that's really cool. Now, listen, we have got to tell everybody. Let me tell you something, Ms. Marlo Hampton. When I mentioned to folks that you're going to be on our show, that you're going to be on the Hair Radio Morning Show, and that you are a guest or you're coming in, the first thing everyone says, they love your style. They love your style.
Well, that's exactly why I'm doing The Art of Style.
Well, I said, I heard this before I heard about The Art of Style. I said, oh, my goodness, wow. And that was one of the impressions I got also. And I don't know what, I guess you know that you have this flair and talent and all that. But I said, you're in a different category. You're just in a different category, and there's something that emanates from you. And this is not just for me. There's something that emanates from you and gets across to folks, and they can connect with you. And not to mention you're beautiful, and you bring all of that to the table. So I just wanted to definitely let you know, you've got fans out there, so that's important. So,
and Noah, that means a lot to me, Carrie, and you always show me love every time I come. And it means a lot because with me from being on the show, either people love me or they don't. And it's like, hey, it's more to Marlo than what you saw on an edited show for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. So it's just really awesome. And growing up, you know, I always dressed different, and I never really saw it as, you know, me being a fashion icon. And not until I got on the show did I realize how much people really admire my
Yes.
I'm like, you know what, it's only fair to share this with my fans. And I mean, it really means the world to me that millions of people love my style, and I feel it's only the right thing to do. So I'm like, you know what, the Art of Style it is.
Exactly. And you probably never really thought about it like a real, like a future career or opportunities and all of that, but look at what happened out of just people looking at you be yourself and just, you know, look like the way that you want it to look. And that's just amazing. And love the pictures. When you guys go, you know, to marlohampton.com, you'll see all the beautiful pictures there. Amazing. So now, you know, speaking of which, when I look back at some of your story, and I know why folks can connect with you, because when I saw that, you know, I was reading that, you know, as a younger young lady, you had to kind of maybe shift from foster homes and all these different things. And I said, my goodness, I could see where you wanted to make the road a little easier for folks out there. And I saw about Glam It Up, and I said, I've got to ask you about that, to talk a little bit about it, to say why it's so important that you connect with these, you know, with the young ladies out there.
Gary, like we're seeing, going back on the artist style, Glam It Up is something dear to my heart. That's something that I will always do. TV, no TV, radio, no radio. Due to me being awarded the state and being foster home to foster home, it's only right. I know how it feels being a young lady in foster care, no mother, no father, not having a retail home, not being able to shop where kids in your school shop. So I just feel it's my duty. Every month I try and do something with kids, and, you know, with young ladies between the ages of 13 to 17 in foster care, just to make them feel special. If it's just that we go to lunch or we go to brunch or we have a play we go to, or once a year I do a big, huge event where we have, it's just called Glam It Up Day, and we get nails done, nails and hair, and we have someone come in and speak on etiquette, and we have a five-course meal. So it's just something I think we all have to do, come together, and let these children know they're the future, and it's just, it's definitely my duty. I know God definitely put me here for that. So I just feel I will always be there for any child, and especially any child in foster care, because I was there. So I know how they feel. I know how they get picked on. Oh, she's going over there to that foster home, or oh, this. So I just feel, and Glam It Up to me, I know some people are like, oh, my God, well, why does hair and makeup matter with Glam It Up? It does, because guess what? When you get your hair done, you feel good. When you get your nails done, you feel good. I'm an adult, and I feel good now when I stop, or if I get my hair. But these are missing in my life. So I know these are the girls that are going to feel good when they get inside. But I just want them to know the world is theirs, and that their love and your current situation doesn't, you know, defy who you are as an individual.
Exactly. And these days, Marlo, we have got to look out for the community and the folks out there. We just have to. The world has just gotten not quite the same as it used to be, so we've got to really look out for each other now more than ever. And I think that I absolutely think that Glam It Up does that. Now, I have to ask you, because they were our fans, and the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show would never, ever let us go without asking you, what can they expect to see at the Art of Style with Marlo? So what should they look for?
At the Art of Style, you're going to look for good. You're going to look for fabulous. The venue is going to be fabulous. They're going to look for Marlo being real with them, Marlo sharing all her tips to fashion. I want them to know it's not all about labels. So then my fans are like, oh, she has on Chanel this, she has on this. I love Chanel. I love my labels. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't always able to afford them. And I know right now I can go to H&M, I can go to Target, and I can still go like $1 million. So that's one thing I really want my fans to know. Don't be afraid thinking, oh, that stuff is too expensive. No, I'm going to show you, I'm going to bring in pieces and show you where they come from, that they can come from Forever 21 and how bad they're going to look. And I'm going to show you if you have the money to splurge. So it's just, I'm going to show them a little bit of everything. I just want to show my fans, you can look like $1 million on a $100 budget, the basic staple pieces you need in your closet. And I just want to have a good time with them. I want to have a good time. I want to drink and eat and just talk. And like I said, if they purchase a VIP ticket, you'll get a one-on-one with me, so you'll get a little more details. You can have our pictures, and hopefully we can go over past 4 o'clock and just have a party.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Now, folks, if you just joined us, we're going to give you all the details. If you've just joined us, you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines, and with me on the line, today's guest is the incomparable Marlo Hampton, who's got just a wonderful set of seminars out there called The Art of Style with Marlo, and she's telling us about that since we've kind of started the interview, and I just love this. I was reading where it says, fashion fades, only style remains the same, and that was it by the legendary Coco Chanel, right? Amazing.
Yeah.
And now, That's what I have to say, and as I kind of mentioned it earlier, where your sense of style just seems to jump out at everybody. And even if you don't have the financial resources necessarily, you'll be able to kind of share with them some of the, you know, ways that they can kind of get around that and still look great.
I want to know you can stop at a Goodwill or Simon's stop and still look great.
Oh, my, I love it. Well, I'll be right there with you. I hope this is good for men, too, because I'm going to be right there as well. Right, Lois? We're going to
have four women, but I am going to have some men too, don't worry.
Wow. Okay, folks, you heard it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Just to remind everybody, this wonderful event, The Art of Style with Marlo, is going to be, again, on Saturday in New York. Now, this is for the folks who are in New York. It's going to be Saturday, May 16th, 2015, from 2 to 4 p.m. It's at an area called Punto Space. It's at 325 West 38th Street in Manhattan. So that's in New York City, New York. So, folks, it's between 8th and 9th, for those of you who are familiar with the area. And obviously, if you are in Manhattan, you're very close to New Jersey. So, you know, and folks from Philly, all of you guys can pop up here in 2 seconds. You can walk right from Port Authority. Yeah, this is right like 2 minutes from Penn Station. So you can take a train here in 2 minutes and walk to this location in within a minute and a half. And same thing, you can get off the Port Authority and walk to the same location on 38th within 2 minutes. So it's extremely convenient. So this is really a great spot. So again, guys, please go to www.marlohampton.com to check out all the details. And Marlo, again, just you were telling folks about the difference in the general admission and the VIP, what they can expect, something a little different.
Yes, the general admission, I mean, you're going to love the venue. You're going to love, I'm going to have it decorated and glam. We're going to have refreshments and cocktails and healthy food. We're going to have some veggies and some fruits. General is $125, VIP is $150, and the difference between the two is the gift bag, the seating, and you get a one-on-one with me.
Wow. Now, so you, I also read that for the folks who are, now, we want you guys at this event on May 16th, but then I also know that you guys are doing some other cities, and I know that you'll be doing Atlanta after that, so for the folks down in that area in June, I think I have you guys on June 6th in that location.
June 6th.
June 6th, okay, and that's just so that you guys, I always tell everybody who's listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show, please grab a pen and paper because you're always going to need that. And again, all of the information is at Marlo's website at marlohampton.com. But I love this. This is, it says here, so May 16th, you'll be down. No, May 16th is when we get to see you in New York. But then after that, on June 6th, that's where you're going to be at Dermalogica at Atlantic Station down in Atlanta. And so that's, okay, wow. Very fancy. Have you noticed any difference, Marlo? You've been up here many times in the New York area. Have you noticed any difference between what the, you know, say on Fashion Avenue in Manhattan versus down in Atlanta and some of the other locations where
Atlanta
you've been?
Atlanta and New York are totally different with fashion.
Really?
You know, New York. Oh, yeah.
Well, come on. Wow, yeah, that's true.
York,
you do have a point.
New York goes over the top. New York gets... One thing I love about New York, I can come there and I can put a ball gown dress on and just walk down the street and I'm fine. Atlanta can like, where's this folk going? But Atlanta has fashion also. It's just totally different. So that's...
But I love what I love. Yeah, no, you go ahead. What were you saying?
Okay. But it's just totally different styles. But I still just want to share with them and let them know it's okay to be different. And it's just about fashion. And it's what works for you. Like, I hate when people say, oh, you can't wear white. Oh, she had on that sweater. It doesn't matter. She's going in the AC. Wear her sweater today if she want to wear her sweater. She didn't plan on sitting outside. So I just want people just to, you know, get my tips and just realize, what would you want to wear as long as it fits your body, it looks good, and just basics that if you're out somewhere and you want to switch over to something to make it look how, you can just add on a simple blazer. Just little tips. I just feel everyone needs to be there that wants to have a little boost in their fashion if they're, you know, looking to become a stylist. And it's just everyday women who just say, hey, I need a little, you know, I need some tips. And that's what Marlo's going to give them, some tips.
Wow. Well, I love this, that everywhere you go, like every day, I know people comment or they've got something to say or they have a question for you, and I think that's probably what kind of has helped us, you know, to create something like this idea. I think it's fantastic. Well, I also want you to mention Yes. Well, this is really nice. This is incredibly nice. And it's good that you're doing this for, you know, you have a lot of fans out there. Like I was just saying, they want to know what you're doing. They want to know how you're doing it. And they want to look like you and look like some of the style and some of the things that you're doing. So this is fantastic. What I love about this also is that you're working with some of the folks that we know in the hair and beauty industry, like Shea Moisture. I thought that was fantastic.
Yes.
You
and
know, some of the sponsors.
In the gift bag also.
Wow. Well, this is really, really exciting. So we want to shout out to those folks and some of the other folks who are helping to make this event possible, especially like in New York, like Primus Beverages and also Nikki Luke. So, you know, good job, you know, for all of just amazing, amongst others. Yeah. So
yes,
I'm really excited.
And like I said, you guys, the tickets are well worth it. I mean, you're going to be able to, I'm going to give one lucky winner a raffle off a $200 Neiman Marcus gift card that you can use at Bergdorf Goodman or Neiman Marcus. You're going to get a gorgeous headband from Deepa Guarani. Plus, we're going to have Deepa Guarani in the headband. We're going to have Nest candles in the gift bags. We're going to have portable iPhone chargers and cell phone chargers in the gift bags. We're going to have awesome gift bags. So the $125 really, it's like you're just coming for free because you're going to get a gift bag over that.
Wow. That's right. The value way exceeds that. Wow. Not to mention you're going to be able to spend time with Ms. Marlo Hampton. Just fantastic. All right. So is that not nice? There you go. So, again, folks, it's the Artist Style with Marlo. We want you to be real clear on this. It's May 16th, 2000.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Bond of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
Just to be stronger. Thank you. to be stronger than
live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is hour show number 604. That was the one and only Amy Winehouse with Stronger Than Me. Listen, we've got a very, very big guest joining us on this Thursday morning, September 2nd, 2021. He's been with us many, 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 many times. He is incomparable. He is a politico aficionado. He is an expert businessman out there in the private sector these days. But he was the mayor out in Irvington, New Jersey, not all that far from New York City, for a whopping 12 years, which is really unheard of in, you know, mayoral politics. It's my honor and pleasure to welcome back to the broadcast the one and only, the incomparable Wayne Smith. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie. Always a pleasure to be with you. And I know we'll have an exciting conversation about the various topics that we discuss. So, again, it's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to get into, to unpack, as everybody's saying now is the catchword. But, Wayne, I first want to just check. Yes, right? I want to check in with you to see, get your feedback. First of all, today it was kind of interesting because for our listeners out there, you guys heard we just had on the amazing Marlo Hampton. And we first want, of course, again, send our condolences over to NeNe Leakes of television's Real Housewives of Atlanta. Her husband, Greg, died. And I've watched the show. I've been a fan of NeNe Leakes for a very long time. So when her friend, her best friend, the whole wide world, the one and only Marlo Hampton, also who appears on the hit TV show, was on our very broadcast right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But we have a bigger connection to Marlo. Wayne Smith, do you know what that connection is? I'm going to put Wayne on the spot, folks.
I know that's where we actually met at a big event. You were covering it, and
that's
Marlo
right.
Marlo was on tour and working with a mutual friend of ours, Angelo Ellaby. And,
yes,
in fact,
Angelo,
funny,
of course, yeah.
It was funny because my wife actually ended up winning the door prize at that event.
You know what? I remember that.
I actually won it, but, of course, it was a product that I could use, so I had to give it to my wife.
Oh. Well, we chatted the whole time, Wayne Smith. Let me tell you something. First of all, this Marlo Hampton, I think she's so underrated. I love Marlo Hampton. I mean, I had already loved Marlo Hampton even before we had a chance to go meet her in person. Just for her being one of our celebrity contributors on this broadcast, way back when I had just launched, you know, 6 years ago, Marlo was one of the first celebrities to come on and be heard right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, you know, there's a very special place in my heart for her. And then, of course, to go out and meet her, and she was just, you know, just effervescent and full of light and energy and beauty. But I think the thing that really jumps out is that she was so and is so down to earth. All the things that she's doing through her charitable outreach and everything else. And now she's on that show. I think she's like one of the regulars on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I'm just, I just want to shout her out this morning.
Right.
And I'm grateful because we wouldn't be chatting right now with Wayne Smith, who I had a chance to meet at her event in Manhattan.
Right.
So many years ago that you heard her talk about just earlier today.
Right.
So real interesting circle. It's a big circle.
Right, absolutely.
And, right? And Wayne, I don't know if you remember, but there was also at the event, I love this event, by the way, that she had, again, 6 years ago in Manhattan. I think it was in, like, 2015. Mm-hmm. But one of my favorite things was that there was the lady from, I don't know if you remember this, because I don't think we've ever talked about it, but there was also a lady, and I chatted that woman's ear off. She was sitting right in front of me at the event from the TV show. It was a big hit TV show called Orange is the New Black on Netflix. And this lady she was right in front of me. Now, at the time, Wayne, I did not know, because I had not watched the show at the time. I was unfamiliar with the TV show Orange is the New Black. So when she was there in front of me, I'm just talking to her like she's just a nobody, you know, just talking to her about the weather or whatever it was. And we were chatting up that whole thing. We were just a chatting. That was a chatting section. And so we chatted the whole time. And later, after I got home and started watching, I had to get Netflix and then start watching the TV show, Orange is the New Black, I saw her appear right on my TV screen, and I just loved it. She's a great character. She plays an awesome character. If you are familiar with Orange is the New Black, I'll see you in a little later. But it was a great time. Marlo was beautiful. Angelo was wonderful. I have to shout him out. Still stay in touch with Angelo and so many folks. And we appreciate everybody. Now, so that is my little thing. And again, the whole idea that Marlo comes to mind is because of her being Nene's best friend. I'm sure she's offering all kinds of support right now to Nene and her family on the loss of Greg.
Yeah.
And, right?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw her on Instagram wishing her condolences. And I joined with you and her and extending my condolences to Nene Leakes on the loss of her husband. And I also want to commend Marlo for her glamming up tour that she's been doing, which works specifically with helping foster children,
kids,
especially young ladies, you know, grab your self-esteem and teaching them beauty techniques and so forth. It's some oft-times forgotten population. So I commend her for her charitable work and working with foster children. So in addition to being a celebrity, she makes sure she gives back by doing that vital work. So applaud her as well for her work in that area.
Well, listen, we've got a lot to, as I said, again, I'm going to throw that buzzword out there, unpacking today with the one and only mayor. We're going to call you Mr. Mayor in reference, Wayne Smith. We're so happy to have you with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show live this Thursday morning. Now, Wayne, before we get into the meat and potatoes this morning, which we're going to talk about Afghanistan, we're going to talk about all that stuff that the listeners, of course, want to kind of pick your brain about a little bit, pick your brain about. But first, I want to ask you a little bit more, a little bit on the lighter side first. There was still the big thing that has America talking, if not shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to phrase it in the form of a question, but I can't think that quickly this morning. So it's the whole thing about Jeopardy. And this is a game show that is syndicated. It's very popular. I watched Jeopardy with, for years. Alex Trebek, we just lost him not all that long ago, as the host of the program. And there's a whole hubbubaloo about filling in the spot vacant by Alex as host. They're looking for a host of this program. And so the whole thing is kind of unfolding still. And almost every day there's some big news about it. So first, have you heard about it? And
Oh, yeah.
And
I actually have. You can't miss that story, Jeopardy. Such a powerful, right? Yes. Yeah, just a powerful voice in American pop culture. People watch Jeopardy. And, in fact, you know, Jeopardy is so funny. I remember, you probably remember this movie. I can't remember what the title of the movie was, but it starred Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson, and Rosie Perez. And
Was that White Men Can't Jump?
Yeah, maybe that's it. That's it. And Rosie was trying to get on the Jeopardy show. In fact, she got on there and won a lot of money. And Woody and them gambled the money away playing basketball. So, you know, that's how a great cultural phenomenon that it even Jeopardy appeared in, you know, pop cultural movies. And Alex Trebek, who was kind of the distinguished host, never played with his hosting role. So finding a replacement would have become a decade. I mean, they had to have at least 4 or 5 decades of the Jeopardy show. I mean, I was watching Jeopardy with my parents when I was younger. So that's how popular the show was. And then when you grow into an adult and you get past whatever, plenty nine.
Exactly. I still watch the old classic episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other part of that episode about the Jeopardy show was the kind of cultural and racial nuances that were about who was going to replace them. So he was such a phenomenon. They tried all these guest hosts, big commentators, journalists, celebrities to do the, you know, kind of substitutes until they picked a permanent host. And then there was a heavy outreach in light of, and I put it in the context of the Black Lives Matter movement, to have a black host on the show. And so LeVar Burton rose up as kind of like the leading candidate.
The black Mr. Rogers. Okay.
Right,
is.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But even at the deeper from his roles that he played, it goes back to the classic movie of Roots.
Roots, right.
And so he kind of reminds people of that history of black
and
America.
And reading Rainbow, right, and all of
that. Right, and all that from, yeah, absolutely. So he was perceived by many as an eyes-on favorite, and then they ended up with the guy who was offered the job, and they found out he had made, you know, many inappropriate comments over the years, and it ended up the pressure was so hot on him, he just bowed out. He knew it was not going to work based on so finding someone to be a host. I think people.
Well,
still
Wayne, you're very nice, but I'm gonna tell America. Let me tell you, I think one of the reasons that it has just really hit some kind of a match strike or whatever you want to call it, is because it has a thin veil for, this is what a lot of folks are saying and feeling across social media, it has a thin veil of racism. And I'll say that, said it, so that's, I'm going to own it, because the thing is, everybody talks about white privilege. And here you have this fellow, I won't call his name, but here you have this fellow who was one of the executive producers on the broadcast, who was put in a place to kind of come up with this whole thing of selecting the host to host the program. And we're all, America's buying into this. We are all saddened by the loss of Alex. And we are all buying into trying out all the different hosts. We didn't know that the fix was in. You know, we didn't know.
Yeah, you know
we didn't know the fix was in until they said, let me tell you, Wayne, they said that they had chosen a host who nobody in America knew. literally, they did what do they call a poll, and they asked people to list all the guest hosts and who they think should be hosts of all the people tested on air. Remember, we're all following this on air as it unfolded after the great Alex Trebek's death. This man, who did test out as well, along with the others, this man, who already was in charge of helping to choose who the host would be, if not just be at his decision, but as it had turned out, who does he select? Himself! I mean,
that part I didn't know. I didn't follow that part.
He
that part
selected
know,
so himself to be the host of the show. I mean, you talk about white privilege on steroids. It just reeks of horrible. You know, they just trash the legacy, in my opinion, of this amazing show. So I just had to say, well, there's been such an uproar because, as you pointed out, this is, you know, Jeopardy, and we all grew up on Jeopardy. So there's been such an uproar that he himself removed himself as host of the show. And let me also note a little sidebar. They brought in a lady, you guys know her. She played as, she came out of sitcoms to co-host with him and all of that. But the thing is, she's had a little bit of certain things that she's also, you know, she's not totally clean on the background thing, but the whole thing is, as I put up on Facebook, just go ahead, please, for God's sakes, give LeVar Burton a job. Give it to him. That's the only thing that can rectify and turn America, put it back on its axle, is to give the job to the one and only, the overly accomplished and perfect shoe-in. Only, as I say, can white privilege folks fall forward. That man, please, doesn't even count up against a LeVar Burton.
The interesting thing, though, is that he says he withdrew himself, but I'm sure there was enough public outcry. That's why he did it. So the public
huge
public outcry, and so they stopped that. So you know, the public weighing in does matter. And so they stopped, and you know, what appeared to be a rigged system. So good for the public for responding to that.
Exactly. And we're still going to see how it plays out. We're going to be following it here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll keep you guys posted. It has not been the actual host, I don't think, has been totally named yet. This guy's episodes will air. He recorded about 5 before they let him go. So I'm going to check them out anyway, just so I can be fair and give you guys a real viewpoint on the issue. Listen, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show this morning. We're live, of course. It's Thursday morning, September 2nd of 2021. I'm on the air with the one and only Wayne Smith, the former mayor from Irvington, New Jersey. We're talking about a career. Wayne, you were in office for 12 years as mayor. What do you say to you know, to folks out there who are looking to embark upon a career in politics, let alone to be a noted mayor and just a beloved mayor. So what do you say to folks out there, Wayne Smith?
I say, you know, it's no better time to get involved than now. I think the national discussion about how we, you know, move our country, our states, our neighborhoods forward are very important. So if you're serious about the business of politics, get involved, figure out the best way for you to enter the business. You know, some people do well running for office, finding out how you do that, how you have the resources to run for office. Others get involved, determining they want to work in some public sector or nonprofit organization that does good. Some people get engaged from their private sector job or their business because it affects their business. So, you know, America needs your voices, you know, wherever you are out there. So get engaged. Don't be shy about it, you know. And listen, it is not like everything and every human endeavor. It is not an easy thing to get into. But, you know, particularly young people who don't have mortgages to pay yet and who haven't developed a career path, this could be the career path for you. Just apply your intelligence, your willingness to serve. And, you know, the overriding principle is bring your ideas to the table that you think can advance the human family.
Well, let me just say, if you do it right, you just might grow up to be Wayne Smith. So that's what I want to say on that. Listen, Wayne, we are so happy to have you with us. You always bring it. You bring it in the morning, and there you do. You bring it right here to the broadcast. And I want to say this, you and I love what you share with all that you're doing out there. We know that you're in the private sector, and I want to talk about that. But first, one other political part, well, a couple political points I wanted to make. I love that you shared this about the young lady running for office down in ATL, out in Atlanta. I thought that was marvelous.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that. Do you remember what you shared?
Yeah, Kirsten Dunn. Yeah, she's running for mayor of Atlanta. She's got a very unique background, kind of non-traditional candidate. She had actually been incarcerated in her early part of her life, foster child.
Wow.
And, you know, she had been through many of the struggles that happen when, you know, you're in that kind of system. So she advanced herself forward to run for mayor. You know, she is out there slugging against some, you know, very powerful forces in Atlanta. But that's what people have to do to advance, you know, what they believe in. So obviously part of her story is how do you engage? So when I talk with her, we talk often about, you know, there's a book out by Michelle Alexander called Incarceration, the New Jim Crow. And in that, Michelle explains that incarcerated people, once they come home, they have many, many challenges in terms of getting themselves reestablished. And so one of them is, you know, you constantly get punished. Sometimes you're locked out of certain jobs. Sometimes you can't rent apartments. You know, all of that affects whether or not that person may end up back on the other side of incarceration. So this person has developed herself as a business person, reformed her life, and wants to play in the mainstream of American politics by running. And, of course, running for the mayor of Atlanta is really kind of like running for the mayor of black America. Atlanta has now become the epicenter. And because they're a city where so many African Americans have made home or grew up there, you know, being the mayor of Atlanta is a super big deal. So she's, you know, thrown her hat in the arena as a business person. And is putting all of those unique challenges out on the front page so that people can make a choice about how do we help people out of that situation become the mainstream. Do they get punished forever? Or after they show that they've reformed their lives to the maximum degree and are participating in a business standpoint, then can they serve in higher offices? So she's putting that test forward to see how the Atlanta public reacts to that, and she's doing it with what they call a community service model campaign, and that campaign is about we're going to serve while we're running, and she's challenging the other candidates to do the same, not just the rhetoric of what you're going to do when you get in office, but use the campaign as a way to help people. We're all campaigns spend a tremendous amount of resources trying to get elected, trying to help the voters decide what they're going to do, and she's using some of those resources to actually help people who've been locked out and disenfranchised and discovered, whether they're homeless, and then telling them that you can register to vote as well and participate in the American process. So, you know, it's a daunting challenge in a city that is historic in Black America, and we wish her well as she takes on that tremendous challenge.
Absolutely. We're talking about Kirsten Dunn down in ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, who is going to definitely running, you know, she's running for mayor. I do want to say this about that, though, Wayne, because it looks to me, listen, I'd rather have someone who has served time and has been rehabilitated, which is supposedly what it's all about. Have we forgotten that in America, folks?
Absolutely. And so that's what the test case will be in Atlanta, whether she brings her ideas and how we reform. She refers to it, I can relate to the guy who's been locked out to society, so I should be able to help advance society, helping, you know America or Atlanta or anywhere else in the world can't be one and two, as the biblical expression is, we take care of the least of these, the people that are oftentimes forgotten and not encouraged to grow and to develop. So I remember as the world looked at us as a community of people, and when 1984, when Jesse Jackson was running for president, they said, well, what is he doing? But he made new ground for people who envisioned that a person of color could become president of the United States. And had not Jackson broke that stereotype in 1984 and then again in 88, we probably would not have gotten to Barack Obama as president of the United States or Kamala Harris as vice president. So all the demographics in America who was fighting for representation and fighting to be heard, they have to take the bold challenge that Kirsten is doing there in Atlanta by trying to engage in the mayor's race.
Absolutely. And we want to take a moment to wish the Reverend Jesse Jackson the very best. We know he's recuperating, and we understand, in a rehab center. He was a guest. I had a chance to interview Jesse right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show back in 2014. So we definitely wish him well, and his wife and all of that and his whole family. Our thoughts are with you this morning. So I'm loving this story with Kirsten Dunn. I really am. My other thing, I think, like I was saying as well, I'd rather have someone who's done and served their time and made an about face and all that wonderful good stuff than someone who has been in office, who has not done any time, and has broken every law, and you guys know who we're alluding to, who's still walking around scot-free, it seems. So this, you know, where are we in America? Are we going to be a country that says one thing and does another, just, you know, continue to disenfranchise? And again, we're talking about folks, you know, in some of these states, they've made it very difficult for folks to come out of the system and be able to vote. And some have fees you got to pay, and they have, you know, you can clearly see that they want you to be disenfranchised. And by they, I mean these lawmakers who have come up with these notions to prevent or make it challenging for people of color to exercise their right to vote. And you guys know what's just happened in Texas with this thing and all these different states and things that they're trying to mount. It's just, I don't know. Well, listen, I have a lot that I want to get into this morning. Wayne Smith, we're so happy to have you with us for the hour, because let me tell you, Wayne, one of the big reasons we wanted you to be here is because we want you to weigh in on this Afghanistan, the political firestorm of Joe Biden's career so far in the White House. And so we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, we're going to have you to fill us all in on your perspective on Afghanistan, a little bit more about that, as well as some other items this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Looking for a new and exciting way to generate interest in your business? Enter Radio World Productions. I'm Kerry Hines, with over 25 years in the industry. Now, we specialize in helping you to promote your business
by creating a podcast, a radio show, or even an entire radio network with your very own branding that can add monies immediately to your bottom line. Call us at 862-277-0686. Again, that's 862-277-0686. Radio World Productions. Your star is right.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
All right, we're back live. It is Thursday morning. It's September 2nd. I had to look for a moment. September 2nd of 2021. I want to bring back to the line the one and only Mayor Wayne Smith. Listen. The former mayor out of Irvington, New Jersey for 12 years. He's our guest today, as you guys know. You've been listening to him as well. Wayne, I have to say, we've got to tackle this. It's the, I guess, the elephant in the room, if you will. It's Afghanistan and the political fallout. You are someone who follows politics on a local level, of course, but certainly on a national level. You know all the players in this. Can you tell us what your perspective is on this whole Afghanistan? First of all, it's been 20 years since September 11th, and that we'll be kind of noting in the next week or so. So what's your thought on that and how all of this has come into where we're all talking about it right now throughout the country and the world for that much? And what do you have to say about this to Joe Biden as well?
Well,
it's
certainly a challenging position for President Biden to be in. So let me just put a couple of perspectives around it. So there seemed to be a sentiment, and rightly expressed from all corners of America, progressives, liberals, conservatives, that these forever wars were not in the best interests of America. That we get ourselves embroiled in these conflicts when the federal government says they're to our strategic interests, and people disagree, sometimes disagree with that aggressively. So here he was saying, okay, I'm going to bring the guys home. I'm going to bring the veterans home. We've been in a country, and people say, this is not our affair. People should manage their own affairs and so forth and so on. So he took the bold position. After many people talked about bringing them home, he actually did it. Now, there's some fallout in that, because one of the things that the president said was he did not see the Taliban taking over the country. He thought that the American troops had trained the Afghanistan government with the right training and resources to protect themselves after the United States pulled out. And obviously we saw that was not true. They end up taking over the outer parts of and some of the major cities in Afghanistan, and then came and got the capital, where they ran the president out while we were evacuating. And most of the Americans are home. There are some that are still there, and that's where the challenge is. After you pull out, how do you go back in?
And get the 100 folks or so, the Americans,
out of
it. Exactly.
So, that's the major challenge, because you have, these citizens who are from our country who are still there. And I think, he's had to take a bold strike to go in there and get them. Now, what that is, I don't know, because obviously they have intelligence on the ground. They know what they're capable of doing, et cetera. But 90% of the job, I think, is done. He did get the troops out of there. Now, here's the interesting thing, because unfortunately, a lot of these decisions have a political overlay to them. Looming is the midterm elections for Congress. And how the voters perceive whether or not our mission was successful, that the bulk of the soldiers are home and safe, and we have to work out this the people that are there. And the other piece of it is, even for our allies, did we abandon an ally for the world's strategic interest to see, wow, would America just kind of abandon their allies and let us go on our own? And how does that play in world politics when we have to get other nations to cooperate around climate change, this global
about whatever it is that we need to fight?
So that's a perceptual problem. I will say this, because generally when a president does something on the international stage that we feel impinges on us, you generally have massive protests, particularly for a midterm election. I have not seen that other than...
Let's just go ahead and peel back this a little bit. I love all the points you made. You're absolutely right. The mm-hmm. one thing, well, there have been several things that kind of jumped out at me. One of the things is, yes, there are about 100 or so, I'm told, Americans who are there still, along with mm-hmm. these Afghan folks and some of the others, who helped America, of course, over the years.
Who were allies.
Exactly.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But when I look at this, there's something, and I think folks feel that it could have been done differently, and that is the thing. And we don't know all the behind-the-scenes wranglings. We just don't know. The things that we don't know, mm-hmm. they have intel and, you know, and information and sources and leads and all kind of stuff that we're not privy to out here. We're just talking heads. But when
right.
I look at this, it just seems that it could have been a little bit more methodically considered. But this is Joe Biden's position. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, that it was just no easy way to do this. It's like to me, that's the end of my paraphrase there, but it seems, Wayne, that it's kind of like where you rip off the Band-Aid, you just have to rip it off. And that's kind of what it takes to end a war. There's no easy way to end a war, especially a war that's lasted for 20 years and spent,
right,
I mean,
yeah.
the damage that
yeah,
was done
absolutely.
That you were even fighting to start the war didn't, I mean, it was pretty sad and it meant a whole lot to us, but look at the war for 20 years. Who's doing the thinking in this country, folks? My goodness.
To Biden's credit, he did take the bold step to try to end it. And like you say, when you take a bold step, there's no perfect movement. I just think before they took that on, they may have secured the country a little better. And I don't know how you do that if you go in there with an aggressive number of people, then you tip them off, and then you may have caused more insurrection because they're trying to attack American soldiers on top of trying to take over. So I don't know. It was no pretty answer to that scenario. And then, you know, some military experts are trying to say we should have stayed a little longer. But, you know,
don't you think that how could, to me, you know, I'm not going to say, but anybody could see that they were certainly not that stabilized there, this new government that was trained through the Americans. And look what we've left behind. What some estimate as billions of dollars in equipment from the military.
So the other weak side to that whole planning of of not paying attention to the Afghan government being stronger to take over the load was do the Taliban get strong where they're able to attack us through terrorism and funding terrorists and all of that. So that's what the fear of taking over, having them take over a government, it gives them, like you say, resources that they didn't have out in the wilderness. Now they have a whole country and whatever that country's resources is. So now we have to ramp up to watch them even closer with all of our other global interests in the world to try to keep us safe here in the United States. So that bears watching, and I'm sure they will. But the other part of in intelligence and this world of secrecy and how they're operating, we don't know if they're in fact preparing and how they're preparing. Do they go back in with a show of force to get the 100 and so Americans out, and does that lead to more casualties? That might be the way to go. Do they go back in and try to fortify the country and take the country back? I don't think people want another war. So, it's you're going to have these unfortunate, and I pray for the folks who are there, because they're at the mercy of whatever decision takes place. Even if the decision is good, there'll be what they call casualties of war. Just, no other way to say it. Just seeing the people leave there that were threatened trying to get on planes, and some people couldn't get on planes. It's not a
They were
situation.
Hanging off the airplane, and I worked and saw up close airplanes. To me, airplanes are very big, scary, when you're looking outside from the tarmac.
Absolutely.
These are huge, big monsters.
Absolutely.
And to see people literally hanging off the airplane for dear life folks dropping from the sky. Wow.
Yeah.
What a visual.
Yeah.
What a visual.
So
the other thing
he almost got a no-win situation.
Ahead,
but I will say, as you go to look at the sentiment of the American people, I don't see the mass kind of demonstration that rise up when people are fed up about a set of circumstances that they're saying he's totally wrong. You got the news media, killing.
Oh, they've done some spinning on this one. The news media has really, and I want to talk about that too. But first, when I hear about the Taliban, now we have to, and it's so interesting for those of us who recall first kind of hearing about the Taliban with the attacks on the World Trade Center and all of that. And September 11th, but the whole thing, we were always under the impression Taliban not good. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like the media is spinning it to almost like they're an ally somewhat. And I know that they're waiting to kind of, complete, still try to get the rest of these folks home. So that might play into it a little bit. We've been very kind in a lot of the reporting. It's just been very weird. I know that some folks are concerned because they think they're in bed with these extremist groups, so I'm like, good. You get worn out trying to keep up with what's happening in the international news.
It's an international chessboard that everybody has to be very careful. So part of, I think, the Biden administration is saying, okay, they've taken over the government. Let me negotiate with them to get my people home safely. Then I'll deal with them.
And that's what I think he's done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think the Taliban is stupid. They realize that's the approach that he's taking. So they make threats that America can't come back in and all of that. Do we give them some resources and food or whatever so they can survive as a trade-off to our people coming
exactly.
home?
Exactly. That's what I think. That's exactly why I think they've been – to me, this is about the best behavior you're going to get from these folks, in my opinion. And I think they've done about the best they can do, and tried to – they want to be seen around the world, is what folks are saying, in a positive light, or a more positive light, we'll say. And so being a little bit generous to women and children and those who helped America will you know, might just bring some good things their way from America. You never know. I mean, this is really multi-layered.
They'll play nice because they know they have a
for
an
at least a little
hole,
while.
They'll act nice for a while, and they know the only ace they have is the American people that are still there and the allies that are still there that we want to negotiate out of there. So they're going to try to get as most of that as they can until, you know, our government, our people decide, okay, enough is enough. We may have to take another approach to this. We may have to freeze them out of, you know, whether economic sanctions work for them or they even care about economic sanctions. But all those things, I'm sure the Biden administration and the American public are pushing the president to figure out what to do to get the people home. And that's probably the number one thrust. So if they have to play nice with them, which, you know, and it's sad that people are the bargaining chip in this whole process, but you got to try to
listen. At the end of the day, the people are always the bargaining chip in America and around the world, sadly. So listen, Wayne, I want to ask you, what do you say about the refugees? What is going to happen to these folks? How do you think they'll be treated by other, you know, by the Americans? And how does that work? Are they given a whole, like, monies? And how do they get acclimated to a new country and those who are coming here?
I always say America is the home of immigrants. You know, everybody here came from somewhere else. So we have to be very careful about our reluctance. There's some corners of American society's reluctance to help other people. America was founded people escaping from other places, whether they were Europeans trying to get away from oppression in their own countries, trying to establish a new life here. That's what America, democracy, is made of. So now we had these folks who put themselves on the line for America, so that, you know, the country has decided they should come in. So there's going to be obviously some assistance that they're going to get. But over time, immigrants are the ones who rebuild places that nobody else wants to go to. You know, when you look at the emergence of cities, it's emerging immigrants of every stripe, whether they're from the continent of Africa or from Europe or from Central and South America, that are rehabbing our cities and making them places to come to again with their restaurants, with their culture, their food, their music. So, you know, we have some challenging parts of America, and folks with the freedoms that the democracy purportedly offers, they'll get an education probably superior than they would get in Afghanistan. The economic chances of moving from class to class are probably greater in America than they are in Afghanistan. So immigrants seem to figure out a way to carve a life out for themselves, sometimes better than the indigenous citizens who are born here.
Well, that's what I was about to say, without sounding xenophobic. But what do you say to African Americans who will say, geez, we've been here, you know, we didn't want to be here. We're here, and we have now folks who are coming, and granted, these, in my opinion, folks of color, you know, they're coming, that's great, but, you know, how should we feel? How do we process this when we're not doing so great to begin with, and nobody's giving us a helping hand?
Right, so, I mean, right now, there's a whole discussion about our people that's taking place. And I think all of us collectively as a society have to seize this moment. It'll probably not be another moment in history, probably for another 20 to 30 years. And it all stemmed from not just the George Floyd incident, but over the last decade or more of incidences like Amadou Diallo. And they become so prevalent that the American society says, if we don't cure this, if we don't help people who traditionally have been locked out, then America is not going to be America that's growing and prospering. So all of these people, whether they're major corporations or others, have said, we're going to do things to help black and brown people, you know, move out of whatever positions they're in. Now, not to take for granted that some of our communities have done well and could do better if they had even more freedoms of enjoyed to them, and the, what we call systematic racism having blocked certain people from even rising higher. So all those doors now are being challenged, and we better seize the moment. Never in American history have I heard of an enhanced conversation about reparations. In my lifetime, when I grew up, people looked at the reparations movement as a fringe element in American society. That wasn't going anywhere. But now you've got cities across America figuring out how they pay reparations to people that have been damaged by. Yeah, so you know, there's a whole lot of things moving currently in American society that for the black community in particular, we better seize the moment. That's why your question earlier about engaging people in public life or political life or whatever, this is the time, because never in society are all corners paying attention to what are the viable solutions. And so we have to push whatever agendas we think advance our family and our community's lifestyle. But this is the moment.
This is the moment. Wow. I think it gets no better than that. Wayne Smith, I want to ask you, now what is coming up next for you, sir? What's next for Wayne Smith?
Well, you know, I'm always trying to grow my business, my wife's business, and so that's what I'm really focused on. And then helping where I can to help people who want to engage in public conversation, who want to grow the community economically. So, you know, I'm helping firms and individuals do what they can do to grow their businesses and grow their nonprofits, and that's what I'm about. And when I have some time, you know, helping those people who want to engage in public life, but not that I want to run for anything, you know, unless God, you know, unless I see a pathway that makes sense. But there are a lot of younger people and people who want to get into public life who have no clue how to enter, and I'm trying to help those who have good ideas, who have the
Wayne,
heart
I'm raising my hand. I'm raising my hand right now.
I've always encouraged you from whatever it is, whether it's being on the local community board or running for city council, get out there.
Yes.
So whenever you're ready, we before our next step, I know you've been investigating quite a few things.
Yes.
So when you're ready for your
correct.
Next step, just call me. We'll figure it out.
Oh, that sounds awesome. It gets no better than that. The one and only Wayne Smith. Now, I have to say, we're gonna just jump right ahead, because I have one other kind of looming question to ask you about. We've covered everything this morning here on the Hair Radio Morning Show on this September 2nd, 2021 morning, I have to say. But this made big news to me when it jumped out at me across my social media. I'm up, you guys know I wake up at 4 o'clock to do the show each day. I'm going through my notes and all of that, and I saw blazoned across my screen, it said, "The Return of Urkel." What can we say? How do you weigh in?
Well, listen,
are you against Urkel returning?
Well, it would be interesting, and listen, there's always resources in these remakes, so and these
sure.
updates. So seeing where Urkel would be as an older person and what his life turned into would be pretty interesting. I think it would be a media storm, and they would make money doing it. But it'd be interesting to also see whatever happened to the alter ego character where he played the, I forget the guy's name.
Oh, the
he was just
smooth guy.
Yeah. To see what happened to both of them. And I know the individual that plays Urkel, I just saw him not recently on television.
Jaleel White, yes.
Jaleel White trying to get his business activity. He's got his nose in a few things that he's trying to launch himself. So I think the revival of Urkel, if he plays it and up to date where Urkel is, would be a boom for him as well in terms of some of his business activities as well. Because
Well, Wayne, you may have to wait a little bit longer for that. The return of Urkel is going to be a cartoon, so we're not going to be able to really appreciate it for all of that. I'm sorry to be a spoiler for you guys out there this morning, but that's what I'm getting on that. But you know what? I love your point, and just maybe this is the first step or the first consideration for them to bring back Urkel.
It's a great character for kids. I'm sure they would enjoy that. Yep. And I wonder if he's going to do the voice. I wonder if he's going to do the voice.
I've been saving my Urkelos box of cereal for 20-something years. I'm hoping he'll sign it for me. I'll be real. I'm ready. I'm going to present it to him and all of that. So listen, Wayne Smith, out of Jersey, I have to say, we just appreciate you so much. You're also just awesome. And thank you. You know, I'm going to put this on out there across social media in just a few minutes. And we want to bring you back here soon. Bring you back. It's the fastest hour of my broadcast when Wayne Smith is in town. So thank you so much for joining us on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Have a great day.
All right. Yes, Wayne. Yes, thank you so much. All right. We didn't do the shout-out. Anybody you want to shout-out to this morning before we sign off?
Oh, just shout-out to my wife to wish her have a wonderful day as she enjoys her business day.
Yes, yes. Now, what's the name of her business? We got to give her a little plug.
Dazzling in Style.
All right. You guys heard it right here. Please support them. If you want to contact Wayne and his wonderful wife's business, please reach out to us. We'll put you in touch through the Hair Radio Morning Show. Everybody, our website, again, is hairradio.com, the incomparable Wayne Smith. We're going to go ahead and start our outro. Join me tomorrow on Friday. We'll kind of give you an update on Shante Kelly. She was on mid-broadcast talking about some important health concerns. We'll bring you the latest tomorrow as well as some other surprises. Again, thank you so much for being with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And go ahead and start our outro. Stay with us. It's that time again to bring this edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it doesn't have to end here. Visit our website at hairradio.com and find out more about today's program's guests. Now, I want to thank our amazing on-air team and fan contributors, and especially our great sponsors, which include FixYourFeet.com, Rugged Evolution Beard Care, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, Prestige Book by Mr. Jarrell Glass. Now, don't forget to come meet all of us in person at our live hair and beauty show. It's a HairNationExpo.biz event called The Road to Healthy Hair. It's being held at the Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey on Saturday, August 21st, 2021, Sunday, August 22nd, 2021, and Monday, August 23rd, 2021.